Earlier this month, the New York Times published a trove of photos and birthday greetings to Jeffrey Epstein, the deceased and disgraced sexual predator and former best buddy of Donald Trump. In one letter, former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, and his wife wrote, quote, "You are like a closed book to many of them, but you know everything about everyone," they wrote, describing Epstein as, this is all in caps, "a collector of people." Well, Epstein was most definitely a collector of people. The question of what people he collected and what he knew about them continues to generate 24/7 news and podcast speculation. Mike, let's start with the case of Epstein before taking up the conspiracies and cover-ups surrounding him that have caused such distress for the Trump administration. What's your sense of both the case from a legal standpoint? What is a conspiracy from a legal standpoint? And then your assessment of the charges against him.
Well, let's begin where a few people have lingered lately, which is Epstein's actual role in global capitalism. There's really nothing original about it. His main job was as a fixer for CEOs, for corporations, for investors, for administrators who could engineer tax avoidance schemes, which could be unbelievably lucrative. And the key to his wealth was his work for financial manager Leon Black and Victoria's Secret boss Les Wexner. And the role of a fixer, most favorably played by George Clooney in a very good movie, Michael Clayton, is one that's essential in almost every corridor of power in states and in the federal government. What he helped them with was to avoid taxes. Then he protected his own income by becoming a resident of the Virgin Islands in 1996. In that same year, he bought Little James Island. And with this wealth he made and his skills, he accumulated ruling class connections that made him even wealthier. He acquired Johnson & Johnson heiress Elizabeth Johnson as a client, became close friends with billionaire Glenn Dubin, whose hedge fund paid him $15 million for introducing the firm to J.P. Morgan Chase, a bank. He became friends with Bill Clinton, with lawyer Alan Dershowitz, with former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, with Prince Andrews, and of course, Donald Trump.
But, a lot of the sexual interest in this and the excitement generated, the libidinal life of the story of Epstein and the question of Trump's closeness to him involves his sexual interest in and exploitation of young women and girls. But
That
in
was his commodity. That was his currency.
That was
That,
his
I mean,
currency. And in many ways, he himself seemed to be the primary erotic object in his world. I mean, there are countless stories of how people found him so seductive, so charming, how he would gather all of these people, intellectuals. Chomsky apparently visited his estate, a wide variety of people that felt he had a certain cultural capital,
he
as well
did.
as financial capital, that was clearly part of, I think, an affinity with Trump. Trump has some unique talents in many ways. He's a very limited human being and has certain moves and relies heavily on them, but also has a kind of charismatic charm that you can see he found a fellow fixer, a fellow grifter
But Epstein
in
had
Epstein.
skills. He had skills. His sex trafficking was used to attract clients. They said if you invested with him, well, he would get you laid. He would keep clients. He would get administrative and legislative favors. He would get favors from banks. He would use sexual favors more adroitly and more extensively than almost anybody else. It's not an unusual favor. It's used for corrupt purposes, just as there are the acts of integrity. These things happen every day. The use of sexual favors is something that happens in every state house in this country.
And girls and women are the currency in many of these spheres of wealth and influence.
That's right. Sometimes they will get you where cold cash will not. So So really effective fixers will have this in their arsenal. But Epstein developed it far beyond anybody else and became, I think, it's like a sorcerer's apprentice. He had a power that he could extend, and he did not know how to stop extending it, and he continued to extend it incrementally in every imaginable direction, and some that are yet to probably be imagined.
So perhaps Trump was correct in a sense when he chastised his followers for being interested in this case after he had decided there was nothing there to see after decades of pumping these kinds of conspiracy theories about the deep state and elites. But he cast the whole Epstein case as boring, said this, this guy's dead. Of course, dead people figure prominently in conspiracy theories, but perhaps the exposure of Trump through these files is not so much sexual as the kinds of transactional part of the world of the powerful and wealthy that you're describing. In a sense, there's a kind of more banal story, less exciting than the sexual ones that have grabbed hold of the fantasies and interests of so many.
Well, this is boring only in the sense that if you think the workings of global capitalism are boring instead of depraved, because it is very common what he did. The world that Trump moved within was a world in which Epstein was very dexterous, and he was just another player. He was a very effective manipulator of money. This is what happened within his world. But I don't think it's a world at all. But one thing conspiracy theories do is distract people from considering how our system truly works. And like Ron Wyden, in his investigation, noted that Epstein lacked any professional training or certifications in accounting or tax law, yet was chosen by very wealthy people to execute very complex tax-related financial transactions. Despite this glaring lack of qualifications that might lead anyone to double-check Epstein's work, it appears that the IRS failed over the course of many years to ever audit major transactions involving Epstein. So that's how someone without any training was able to obtain big clients, because he could enable them to have accepted as valid completely fraudulent maneuvers.
So, there is, in that sense, evidence of a conspiracy of some sort, that there have been many people covering the tracks of this guy over time. And there seems to be an investment, if we don't call it the deep state, there's some deep investment somewhere in covering up the collection of people and their activities that of which, where he was kind of the central actor in many ways. So, how do you separate the conspiracy here from the conspiracy theories that have been elaborated beyond what we know?
Well, what's very interesting is how did all this get conflated with Pizzagate, with satanic theories of infant sexual abuse, theories that really echo theories that reigned in Paris, France, before the French Revolution in the 1770s and 1780s, about higher-ups and elites like Marie Antoinette and all her friends committing just depraved acts on tiny children. There were broadsheets, the French equivalent of blogs. There were people perpetuating horrible, scandalous rumors that echo almost precisely what people are saying about Trump and Epstein.
Well, you and I both have written about the satanic ritual abuse scare in the 1980s and 90s, and have also put some of that subgenre of conspiracy theory in historical context, why so many feminists and therapists not only endorsed but circulated these theories. And I think similarly, there was a kind of critique of authority and the concentration of power and wealth. But the conspiracy theory both signaled or registered that a shift in the culture, with children, young, innocent children, and the preying upon young children as kind of the moral center of how this crisis was framed. But at the same time, as you say, it distracts from the actual observable villainy that
Global
is
capitalism.
a reaction to, yeah.
Well, these theories, they center children, and the belief when you're acting on behalf of children, they're the symbol of purity, they're the symbol of our futures, that you cannot go wrong. Anything you say, any bit of excess, will be excused because of the nobility of your beginnings and your subject matter.
Right, and even a moral urgency to act.
But how that got conflated with Epstein is a complicated and almost serendipitous mix of abuse and resentment of the Clintons and the Democratic establishment, the Democrats that have moved away from representing working people to representing actually parts of the financial establishment, along with the legal establishment and the series of jobs that have replaced all the manufacturing jobs. The Democrats went after that crowd, leaving behind millions of people that they had reported to and, in fact, had vigorously worked for decades. So you've
So
got a
there's something correct in the MAGA reaction to the Democrats selling out.
Well, the Democrats definitely sold out, whether you want to say their MAGA reaction is correct or not. But you can certainly see that where the energy, the problems, the thrashing around that would lead to focusing in on whatever one could to explain profound change.
Yeah, I think part of the choreography of this and the staging of this particular conspiracy theory about a pedophile trafficking ring and the cover-up of Epstein and all of the liberals and Democrats that MAGA followers believe were at the heart of this conspiracy. I mean, part of how this gets elaborated is through the figure of Trump as the redeemer, as a kind of divinely ordained redeemer who is also going to avenge through exposing the conspiracy, is going to avenge all of the grievances of his followers. So I think the fact that Trump himself is so central to anyone who's been looking, hanging out with this guy, as long as both of them saw each other as their closest best friend, that the overlooking of Trump makes sense in the context of conspiracy theories because he had to be himself a bad enough guy to enter this world to unlock it and to overthrow it. So I think his alluding to evil forces, I mean, Trump was never big on the details of the conspiracy theory, it was more gesturing toward it or fueling it by these references to dark forces, evildoers that he's going to not only expose but avenge.
Well, I think we're serendipitously lucky here because the whole fervent surge of conspiracy theories was initially centered on Hillary and on the Democrats. And the convictions, as you said, that Trump would swoop down like an avenging angel and take care of him just overlooked the fact that if you really looked into all the, and Epstein became a figure who was close to Bill Clinton, who they knew Bill Clinton had met, but they had no idea at the time how tight Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump were, how many parties they went to together, how many times they were photographed together, and how many little love notes involving naked women Trump would write to Epstein. So this is creating all kinds of cognitive dissonance now, because what's happening? Is their hero? Where is, what's his place here? Is he with us or against us or both or what?
Yeah, and I think part of the impasse around and the difficulty moving past this level of conspiratorial thinking is that there is at the base of conspiracy theories an investment in and an emotional investment and a cognitive investment in exposing a hidden truth and the detective work of exposing the hidden truth.
Right, that's
And so the details connecting all the dots all lead to one big gestalt, one big fiction. But the conspiracy theories also are ways of organizing people politically. And the government historically has used conspiracies of various kinds, like the weapons of mass destruction, and a lot of the promotion, of course, McCarthyism. There are a lot of conspiracies that the government has promoted of hidden evildoers that have to be exposed, that have been central to political campaigns and propaganda. So conspiracy theories are a kind of propaganda, and ones that are very immune to evidence, because the lack of evidence tends to circle back as evidence of the scale and scope of the conspiracy. So the more lack of evidence or disconfirmatory evidence, the greater the suspicion that there are more and more people involved in the cover-up. So there's a circularity to conspiracy theories that makes them hard to dislodge.
And also a congenital allergy to facts in the Trump administration. And facts are regarded as enemies, as foes. If someone presents facts, for example, about the relatively slow job growth in this country, they have to be fired. You don't fix the slow job growth. What you do is you kill the messenger.
Right.
That's
All of this, like the much of the evil doing of Epstein, Trump, and their collection of people, much of that is pretty observable and done in daylight. But there's more fascination with what's done in the night in
Yeah,
this
I returning
world.
to what I said initially, I think what's striking here is how absolutely revelatory Epstein's behavior is. If anyone wants to take a close look at the actual functioning of global capitalism and the way in which administrative, legislative, and even judicial decisions are made, you would have to acknowledge the role of people like Epstein and the commodities and currencies they provide, and to who they provide them.
Including young women and girls as important currencies, perhaps more importantly, in a kind of pre-social infantile way of showing off a girl or a young woman rather than a sexual relationship in any socially meaningful way.
Oh, Jan, I think sexual relationships as a commodity offering that is something that is known by lobbyists in Sacramento and Washington as a way of reaching certain legislators who cannot otherwise be reached. And you can't persuade everybody on every issue, and some people you can very rarely persuade on anything, but the trafficking of young women and the opportunities offering of sexual favors is a fundamental method of persuasion.
evil doings, but of often of a banal sort, but quite destructive.
What is banal should not be banal. What is the fact that this is typical, routine behavior does not mean it should not be a scandalous behavior. That
Or exploitive of women.
it's very exploitive of women. It creates deception in why votes are made, or why administrative decisions are made, or why documents like Epstein's are not reviewed. It creates a false discourse if we don't look at all this in the light of what are the actual functionings of global capitalism. And that should not be regarded as a banal thing or a banal thing.
Yeah.
So,
Okay. So we'll probably be forced to continue to follow this case. Hopefully it may be the final conspiracy that does some of these people in.
we can certainly hope so.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Let's open the door and look inside. Pull the file on the state of denial. Hypocrisy is the greatest luxury. Raise the double standard. Hypocrisy is the greatest luxury. Raise the double standard. Hypocrisy is the greatest luxury. Raise the double standard. Hypocrisy is the greatest luxury. Raise the double standard.